Geek Radio Daily for finally Fracking Friday.
We made it.
And fracking.
You made it.
Fracking is still from Battlestar Galactica. Space Force doesn't get to say they own that. They do not. Not at all. I wonder what other sci-fi tropes they're going to rip off as they continue to become a legitimate branch of the military. Anyway, folks, welcome to the 24th of September. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing to you today the man that has plans for this weekend, and you can't tell him different, that there's podcasting for Siegfried.
Disco is not dead. Disco is life.
Life, baby, life. And me, I'm the guy that, well, you know, make sure that you know what's happening and things like... I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Make this a good intro, Chief. This scene needs all the help it can get.
Oh, well. What happened, sir?
In 1852, the first airship, a semi-rigid dirigible balloon powered by a steam engine, is demonstrated with a 17-mile flight from Paris to Trappes, France. Must have been a long set of tracks.
1923, the first movie released on celluloid film, Das Leben auf dem Dorfe. Premieres. I didn't know Dorf had been doing movies that long.
1947, Majestic 12, a secret committee of scientists, military leaders, and government officials, is allegedly established by a secret executive order issued by President Harry Truman to investigate UFO activity in the aftermath of the Roswell incident.
1970, the robotic space probe Luna 16 makes the first automated return of lunar samples following the first unmanned round-trip mission to the moon. That's why we have robots, to get rid of astronauts.
They're taking our gerbs! 1979, CompuServe, later CompuServe, launched the, they just removed the hyphen, launches the first consumer computer information service as Micronet. The 300 baud service offered through Radio Shack offers the first commercial electronic email service.
Remember when Radio Shacks would be BBSs after they closed? 1990, the periodic Great White Spot is first observed on Saturn. Turns out it was just Ken Howard on vacation.
1891, Michael Archer is murdered by Castor Troy in what would some would call a face-off.
1992, USA Networks launches the Sci-Fi Channel as a collaboration between Paramount and Universal Studios. The first program shown on the station is Star Wars, A New Hope. See, they didn't even do science fiction back then. That's a fantasy film.
Wow, only 92.
Yep.
1993, Broderbund releases the first-person graphic adventure game Myst for the Macintosh and Windows 3.1 in the U.S.
Same day, same year, the webcomic Dr. Fun by David Farley is launched, becoming the world's first comic on the World Wide Web.
1995, the science fiction television series Space Above and Beyond premieres on the Fox television network in the U.S. with the episode Pilot, Part 1.
Same day, same year, the greatest sitcom in the history of television aired for the first time, Spaced, written by and starring Simon Pegg, Jessica Stevenson, directed by Edgar Wright. Find it, watch it. It's like a sandwich of fun on ecstasy bread wrapped up in like a big bag of like disco fudge.
That's one of my desert island shows, man. 2000, Microsoft releases Metal Gear Solid for Windows in North America.
2001, personal computer manufacturers begin shipping new computers with Windows XP preloaded.
2002, the dead walks around in Raccoon City.
And get into trash cans. 2003, the Computer and Communications Industry Association, the CIA, releases a report asserting that Microsoft's industry dominance poses a security risk that threatens the nation's infrastructure.
Also, U.S. District Judge Lee R. West rules that the FTC had exceeded its authority in creating the National Do Not Call Registry, which was scheduled to go into effect October 1st. The judge ruled that the registry violated the First and Fifth Amendment rights of Direct Marketing Association and other telemarketers, who estimate that the Do Not Call list would cut its business in half, costing up to $50 billion in sales annually. I'm sure in no relation that the judge then went off into his private helicopter, which landed on his yacht.
2007, the comedy series The Big Bang Theory premieres with the episode pilot and the most obnoxious laugh track in history.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And the New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo subpoenas Facebook over allegations that the social networking site failed to protect the safety of its young users following multiple complaints regarding sexual predators. Not the last time that Cuomo and sexual predators are used in the same sentence.
Why didn't they ever go after AOL? Birthdays?
Kate Fleetwood is 49. Mary Cattermole in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, and Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Megan Ward is 52 from Trancers 2, Encino Man, PCU.
Kevin Sorbo, 63. Hercules, Cull, God's Not Dead, Priest Cop. You can find him running his mouth on Twitter. He's not really friends with anybody anymore, although you'll probably see him next in some sort of Jesus buddy cop movie with Kirk Cameron.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1883, Franklin Clarence Mars, American businessman, founded the Clarence Incorporated.
Love their candy bars. 1894, Billy Bletcher, Pete, in the Mickey Mouse short films from 1932 to 1954.
1918, Audra Lindley from Revenge of the Stepford Wives, Desert Hearts, Troop Beverly Hills, and of course was Helen Roper on Three's Company.
1923, Louis Edmonds, Roger Collins in Dark Shadows, as well as Young Frankenstein, the original Halloween, Oh God, You Devil, Hook, and Toys.
1930, Angelo Muscat, the butler in The Prisoner, Magical Mystery Tour, and Oompa Loompa in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
1931, Anthony Newley, Dr. Doolittle, and the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
1936, Jim Henson, the man that brought us all the joy, glory, and wonder that is The Muppets.
Wholesome man and one of my absolute heroes. On CBS, we've got a new secret celebrity renovation, the greatest hashtag at-home videos, and a rerun of Blue Bloods.
ABC just says 2020, special big edition of it.
NBC National Finals 2 on a rerun of American Ninja Warrior and a new Dateline UPN.
Fox with WWE Friday Night SmackDown.
Brother. CW when the daughter of a wealthy businessman tries to oust her soon-to-be stepmother, her plan backfires after her father chooses his lover instead, and she sets out on a mission for revenge and to prove that family comes first. On a new Dynasty followed by a new Dynasty.
Freeform has your Family Guy marathon.
AMC has Die Hard, and the second best Die Hard movie, Die Hard 2.
I would have said that was 3. FX, the New York Times presents what they're presenting. It's a mystery tonight.
You're 100% right. Die Hard 3 is the second best Die Hard movie.
Thank you.
Die Hard 2 is the third best Die Hard movie.
Yes.
FXM has Alita Battle Angel.
And it has Dennis Franz, so there's that. BBC America has Spaceballs.
3 also has Timothy Oliphant in it. Siffy has iRobot.
And that guy from The Young and the Restless who plays a doctor whose name I don't remember at all in the slightest. TBS has Creed 2, which does not have Dennis Franz in it. Why the hell not? All 2 movies should. Psycho 2 did.
TNT has Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, All Elite Wrestling Rampage, followed by Return of the Jedi. You know, we forgot a very important person that was in Die Hard 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bruce Willis. Tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A college freshman moves into the perfect dorm on campus, but soon discovers the previous resident died under mysterious circumstances. Believing the girl was murdered, she tries to uncover the identity of the killer before it's too late. Abby Ross and Kendall Cross starring The Secret Lives of College Freshmen.
And those were the best parts about that one.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
One of the passengers aboard John's yacht is murdered. Chad and Abby arrive in France to track down the man who claims Ben was murdered. And Aunt Shawn takes the next step in her plot to get Sonny to marry her. You know, these people all try and present themselves as so complex, but it really just is insecurity, entitlement, and greed. That seems to be the exposed center, the stock ethos, the fundamental marrow. Hashtag Chebby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Greetings, GRD. Pierre is responding to an OnlyFans reference for the show, said he could only think of oscillating and sealing. Well, there's paper ones that fold up in a slim hard case you can use to wrap people who annoy you on the head. Paper ones you can improvise out of the program from a boring event like church service or graduation ceremonies. Big paper fans made of cardstock glued to bamboo or balsa handle, box, exhaust, lower, and feather. Just off the top of my head. When you listed celebrities celebrating a birthday and listed the credits for Mary Kay Place, you named Captain Ron, and it struck a memory from my adolescence. Easy. Not that kind of memory. It's a kid-safe memory. I was a fan of David Letterman pretty early on, and I'd seen an episode of his talk show where he talked about having a role in a movie. I thought I had seen that movie. My ADD brain only clocked the nautical aspect of the movie, so when I saw Captain Ron in the program guide, I thought, oh, that's the one with David Letterman. I'm going to watch it. And I was more than halfway in before I realized I had the wrong movie. I've still never seen Cabin Boy. As for solitaire skins, I refuse to play any Windows solitaire unless I can use the semi-animated cards from the Win 3.1X days. The sun on the beach cards, putting on sunglasses? Comedy gold! And in case my email from Tuesday got lost, Chad and Abby are on... I think there's a Skinamax movie with that title. Cheers! That is from Jared in Anaheim. Well, Jared, yes, you need to see Cabin Boy, but keep in mind, my... Oh my, if there's one thing I hate, It's them fancy lads. Once you see the movie, you'll appreciate that on a whole other level. If you could appreciate that or anything else, by all means, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
Now I got to see if I can cross-post to my Fansly account.
Travis I. Sivart's exciting novel, Silver and Smith and the Doppelganger's Gate, is now available. An artifact that may reveal a secret buried by history. Two powerful corporations want it, each for very different reasons. One to manipulate genetics, the other to uncover lost technology. Silver and Smith are hired to find the relic that could reveal a conspiracy that spans from Atlantis to other worlds. Pulp-style, fast-paced adventure with memorable characters that you'll love. Find this book and others on Amazon or at bit.ly/TravisBooks. That's bit.ly/TravisBooks.
Hello there, boys and girls. This is Robert Llewellyn, the actor behind the Mask of Crichton from the BBC television show Red Dwarf, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. You must be very, very clever.
Of course you are. How else did you load up a podcast? Come on. Not anyone can do something like that.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure they do. And they're out, and you can see them now. What can people see thusly, sir?
Well, Netflix only. The unimaginable has happened. Equestria has lost its magic. Earth ponies, unicorns, and pegasi are no longer friends and now live separated by species. But idealistic Earth Pony Sunny is determined to find a way to bring enchantment and unity back to their world. Teaming up with open-hearted unicorn Izzy, the pair travel to faraway lands where they encounter the likes of charismatic and brave Pegasi Pip and Zip and the ever-responsible fellow Earth Pony Hitch. Their mission is full of misadventures, but these new best friends each possess their own unique and special gifts that may be just what this ponyverse needs to restore magic and prove that even little ponies can make a big difference. Vanessa Hudgens, Kimiko Glenn, and Sophia Carson star in My Little Pony, A New Generation.
After Lily suffers a loss, a battle with a territorial bird over dominion of her garden provides an unlikely avenue for her grief and the courage to heal her relationship and rediscover her capacity for love. Melissa McCarthy, David Diggs, and the guy who's not in Die Hard 3 but 4, Timothy Oliphant, star in The Starling.
Look, I understand her terror. Things that fly are just inherently scarier, which explains why vampires are so scary. Well, that and the aversion to garlic. But Svengoolie's got a film that is billed as giving you nightmares forever. Under hypnosis, a young woman turns into a vampire. In her eyes, desire. In her veins, the blood of a monster. See Louise Lewis, Jerry Blaine, and Sandra Harrison in 1957's Blood of Dracula. Only on MeTV. Bleh, bleh,
I'm not
bleh,
wearing
bleh.
Any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, as Warner Media Kids and Family announced they will be making a new The Amazing World of Gumball series and movie, they'll be the first projects to get the thumbs up from the rebranded Hanna-Barbera Studios Europe, formerly known as Cartoon Network Studios Europe.
Ooh, awesome! That show is way more clever than it should be.
Truth. Staying true to its self-referential and meta-comedic roots that endeared The Amazing World of Gumball to fans around the world, the movie begins when Gumball's biggest fan finds the show's missing episode and accidentally opens a portal connecting his world to Gumball's cartoon world. And upon meeting his heroes, our superfan decides to team up with Gumball, Darwin, Anise, Richard, Nicole to save them from a nefarious force overtaking Elmore while inadvertently unleashing a threat of their very own.
Look, it can't be much crazier than the Glitch episode. Could it?
Hell no. The Amazing World of Gumball movie and series will be released on Cartoon Network and HBO Max, and we hope it'll be as good as the original series. We'll be disappointed if it isn't, but then it's better to have loved and watched that love burn before your very eyes than to have never loved at all.
Last month, Jeff Nicholas popped into the Discord channel for OpenSea, the popular NFT marketplace, looking for help with a royalties issue. Within minutes, somebody by the name of Pascal/OpenSea responded, inviting him into a separate Discord called OpenSea Support Server. There, he was greeted by Nate/OpenSea, given a queue number, and eventually started talking through a resolution process with the two agents. Pascal is the name of OpenSea's customer support lead, and Nate might have been Nate Chastain, its head of production at the time.
I wish Comcast customer support was that quick.
But there was no Nader Pascal, and Nicholas wasn't in a customer support channel. He'd been targeted by a group of scammers masquerading as OpenSea employees, and they got right to work. With tailored messages, an exclusive Discord invite, and multiple team members, they were able to keep him in customer support purgatory.
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim!
After hours of back and forth, they casually suggested he share his screen with them. Nicholas, not realizing the situation he was in, allowed them access. Over the next hour, the scammers wiped out NFT apes, cats, and dogs from Nicholas's wallet. They were also able to snap a picture of the QR code synced to his private key, quietly gaining full access to all of his assets. The damage totaled 150 ETH, which is Ethereum, or roughly $480,000.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt.
As the value of NFTs have increased overall, with certain projects being considered blue chip due to high or relatively stable valuations, so too has the threat of scammers. All transactions are irreversible by design. Because a blockchain like Ethereum is decentralized and allows for anonymity, it is difficult to track down scammers who use anonymous wallets, and victims have few avenues for recourse. Due to the nature of blockchain transactions, while the scammers themselves eluded identification, OpenSea could still identify the scammer's wallet address. Upon being informed, they were obligated to lock the stolen NFTs, preventing them from being traded or resold. But by the time they locked Nicholas's assets, the scammers had preemptively sold them off to the highest bidders, none of whom knew they were participating in the exchange of stolen goods.
How can you tell that something is legit if it's not real?
In response to this high-profile scam and another one as well, OpenSea has apologized to Nicholas. The platform also added an SOS button, which allows users to lock their own account should they believe it to be compromised. Now, that may help with situations in the future, but let's face it. Crypto and digital things can and will be easy to steal or counterfeit. I know I sound like an old man here, but I wish the common sense would be made digital and passed around. I think the world would be in a much better place.
Last week, Disney announced that they would be updating one of their rides to reflect a more contemporary sensibility, and to the surprise of absolutely no one, this week there are angry fans making dramatic declarations and petitions on the internet. The Roger Rabbit cartoon spin is being updated to remove Jessica Rabbit as a damsel in distress and kidnap victim, and instead reintroduce her as a detective in her own right.
Good! I love Roger Rabbit, but that flick doesn't exactly pass the Bechdel test.
The character, based on femme fatales from noir novels in the Golden Age of Hollywood, Jessica's sex appeal was central to her character in the 88 movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and has inspired countless cosplay imitators in the years since.
Which we all appreciate.
Hello, nurse. In a new poster set to hang in the ride's queue line, Jessica's seen wearing a trench coat and fedora. The accompanying text sheds some light on the future of the dark ride, citing the recent return of the Toon Patrol weasels as the main driver behind the recent sharp rise in crime statistics throughout Mickey's Toontown. Jessica Rabbit has determined it's past time for her to throw her fedora into the ring by starting her own private investigation service. While taking inspiration from longtime friend and legendary Toon Detective Eddie Valiant, Jessica shows that she certainly means business.
Cool. And I'm just glad the character is becoming three-dimensional. And not in a dirty way, Steve.
As with any update that makes a sexy cartoon character a little less sultry, a segment of the fandom is enraged. A quick look at Twitter shows that dozens of tweets about the change, with fans complaining that Disney does not understand the concept of Jessica Rabbit and decrying political correctness. Others, both who support and who oppose the ride changes, note that putting a character like Jessica Rabbit in a trench coat seems to do the opposite of preventing people from having sexualized thoughts.
If it matters to you that much, just imagine what isn't on underneath the trench coat. But, you know, it's a cartoon.
The current Roger Rabbit cartoon spin is an original story in which Roger tries to stop a group of weasels from causing havoc in Toontown. At one point in the ride, Jessica's been kidnapped and was seen dangling her legs out of the trunk. In the new version, Jessica has been replaced by Dip, the tuna-raising liquid from the movie.
Which is a bigger threat to all of Toontown, but a smaller threat to the kidnappers.
The ride is one of several that has either recently received updates or is due to receive updates in order to bring the themes and scenes of the ride more in line with the times. Disney Parks recently overhauled its Jungle Cruise ride in both Disneyland and Disney World in order to remove scenes with outdated cultural depictions. Disney Parks also announced a planned overhaul of Splash Mountain, which will remove animatronics based on scenes from Song of the South and replacing them with the more modern Princess and the Frog. Naturally. Look, it doesn't matter if you like the changes. They're happening. And think about what you're getting mad about. They're cartoons that were made when things were different. If you can't handle that, you aren't bad because of the way you were drawn. You're just bad.
A black truck advertising for Wilmore Funeral Home delivered a blunt and unexpected message stating, "Don't get vaccinated," on Sunday to football fans in downtown Charlotte as they headed to watch the Carolina Panthers play the New Orleans Saints.
Don't get, that's just terrible. Wait, it's from a funeral home?
Many employers and public health officials are searching for ways to get more people vaccinated against COVID-19, using everything from money and free food to even lavish vacations and VIP Super Bowl tickets. The fully vaccinated account for just 54.7% of the total U.S. population. One Charlotte ad agency, however, decided to ditch traditional marketing strategies and take matters into their own hands.
Well, it's getting eyes on it, that's for sure.
But here's the catch. There is no Wilmore Funeral Home, and visiting its website takes you to a landing page instructing visitors to do the opposite of what's written on the truck. "Get vaccinated now" pops up on the website, along with a message that says, "If not, see you soon." The ad agency Boone Oakley had decided it was time to get serious.
Which is fantastic.
I just feel like conventional advertising is not working. Like, just regular messages that say "get the shot" or "go get vaccinated," they just kind of blend in with everything else, agency director David Oakley told CNN. "We wanted to do something that saw it from a different perspective and kind of shocks people into thinking, holy moly, man." Once visitors to the site click the "Get Vaccinated Now" box, they're redirected to an area urgent care medical facility, StarMed, that administers COVID-19 vaccines. In North Carolina, vaccination rates lag national numbers. Roughly 48.8% of residents are fully vaccinated.
When even Trump gets booed for suggesting the vaccine, what else can you do?
We share the frustration with a lot of people about the people who aren't getting vaccinated, Oakley said. So we're wondering what we can do to help. So our team was throwing around some ideas one morning, and they thought about businesses that are dealing with some of the people who aren't getting vaccinated. When people die, well, that's funeral homes, Oakley said. Now, look, I commend the hell out of them. This is such a brilliant, clever troll for good. I'm just glad that they thought outside of the coffin. I mean, box.
For the past 10 years, Sonia Grego has been thinking about toilets, and more specifically, what we deposit into them. "We are laser-focused on the analysis of stool," said the Duke University research professor, with all the unself-consciousness of someone used to talking about bodily functions. "We think there's an incredible untapped opportunity for health data, and this information is not tapped because of the universal aversion to having anything to do with your stool."
Yeah, I think the idea stinks.
As the co-founder of Caprata, Grego is working on a toilet that uses sensors and artificial intelligence to analyze water. She hopes to have an early model for a pilot study ready within 9 months. The smart toilets time has come, and it has a potentially huge impact. In the developed world, everyone who is able to uses a toilet multiple times a day. Grego adds that she can certainly envision a world in which a toilet that does more than flush excreta is available for every household.
Look, aside from a heated seat and sprints and undercarriage, what more do I need?
Smart toilet innovators believe the loo could become the ultimate health monitoring tool. Grego believes her product, which analyzes and tracks stool samples and sends the data to an app, will provide information related to cancer and many chronic diseases.
Oh, sounds like the perfect use for a Windows phone. Boom. Roasted.
At some point, she thinks a smart toilet could make lifestyle suggestions. It could even tell you to eat more fiber or certain nutrients, for instance, or work out what kind of food triggered an uncomfortable gastric episode.
I pooped a question mark once. Could it tell me why?
Similar developments have been made elsewhere. In 2018, Panasonic launched a smart toilet in China that tested urine and tracked body fat. And this year at the influential annual consumer electronics show, Japanese manufacturer Toto, who loves those rings in Africa, announced its wellness toilet, a concept, but something it is working on. It previously developed a toilet that analyzes urine flow. Its sensors, including one for scent, would aim to detect health problems and conditions such as stress, but also make lifestyle suggestions. In one image provided by the company, it envisioned the toilet sending you a recipe for salmon in avocado salad.
If it sends you a recipe featuring beans, you know it's busted.
Researchers at the Stanford School of Medicine have been working on technology that can analyze feces, including a stool dropping time, and track the velocity and color of urine, as well as test it. An article this month in the Wall Street Journal reported that researchers have partnered with Aizen, a Korean toilet manufacturer, and hope to have prototypes by the end of the year. In order to differentiate between users, Aizen developed a scanner that can recognize the physical characteristics of whoever is sitting on the toilet. Or in other words, the researchers, the distinctive features of their anoderm, the skin of the anal canal. Apparently your anal print, like your fingerprints, is unique.
New episodes of CSI are going to be weird, man.
Where does it end, though? Could the police or others involved in surveillance track you by anal print? Via the public and home smart lavatories you visit? Might you be asked to provide a print at a police station? And when you get printed, how long will it take to clean off the ink? GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works of the United States 3.0 license. God, they better not have me replace opening my phone with that, I tell you what. Hey!
That's how you get pink eye.
Oh, my. Or you get something that way, I tell you what the hell. Blah, 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 geekradiodaily.com. All of that nonsense. Drop us a note. Let us know where Chad and Abby is. Let us know what you're doing. And are you willing to give up your anal print? No, that's not a botched come on. It's really not. Send a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. A voicemail, a text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
They make an ass of you. You're for you. See? That's how it works. That's stupid.
What do you think? It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but to say.
It's all right. It's my messenger.
Weird.
What?
Why's nobody here?
Oi, oi! You lucky people!
Oh, hi, Thomas.
I understand you two, friends wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could run my portfolio over to Darkstar for me.
Oh, I see. You don't call me for weeks, and all of a sudden you want a favor? That's nice, that is. Do you know the last time I seen you? You said you wished that I was your dad, and you hugged me for the entire length of the acid tweak and funk mix of Joyce Wink's Higher State of Consciousness, and now you want me to ferry around your art for you?
Yes, please.
Okay. By the way, you owe me 20 quid.
Oh, right, yeah.
And how are you, my little pocket Shakespeare? Come up with any exciting literary characters lately?
Yes, actually, yes. Dizzy Steinway.
I like it. I like it. What, is she some sort of crime-busting jazz singer?
No, actually, it's the name I'm using to sign on.
You want to get up off your arse and get yourself a job, Dizzy, or whatever your name isn't? Nice hair, by the way.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. Now, my livelihood is in here, OK? So guard it with your life.
As ever. You's coming out at the weekend?
I'm a bit strapped for cash, actually. You couldn't lend me 20 quid, could you?
Yeah, sure.
Great.